Warmed and watered by the heavens, earth has set its harvest table before us. We light our chalice in gratitude and gather in thanksgiving. We give thanks for this day and for these people and all people who have enriched our lives. We give thanks for the gift of life with all its pain and joys, its struggles and its triumphs. We give thanks for love, which created us, which revivifies us, and links us to others in struggle and in joy. We give thanks for eyes to see and ears to hear, the ability to feel and the imagination to see beyond the obvious. We give thanks for the spirit of creativity that inspires and encourages, that brings novelty in the midst of familiarity and risk in the midst of comfort, that surprises in the midst of the commonplace. We give thanks by giving to others in return for all we have received. We give thanks in the depths of our souls.
Hi, I'd like to read a story. It's a Jataka tale from the Buddhist tradition. Once there was a farmer who worked hard. He had a house and land to grow food to eat. He had a few animals, too. One day, a baby bull was born. The farmer thought the calf was beautiful. He was so happy that he named the bull Delightful. Delightful grew up to be true to his name, or her name. Never ad-lib. He grew healthy and strong, but was also gentle and sweet-natured. The farmer took good care of Delightful. He spoke to him lovingly, cared for Delightful much better than the other farmers cared for their animals, even the rich merchant in town, who often overworked his animals. Delightful thought to himself, "The farmer is so good to me. If I can ever think of a way to pay him back, I will do so." The farmer continued to work hard. He even managed to save 1,000 pieces of gold. One day, the farmer drove to town in a cart pulled by Delightful. The bull overheard the merchant bragging about the strength of his animals, but Delightful knew he was stronger. Upon arriving home, Delightful...
"Dear farmer, you have been so kind to me. Your loving care has helped me grow to be the strongest of bulls. Now I wish to repay you."
The farmer was amazed that the bull could speak.
"Now I want you to go to the rich merchant. Make a bet with him that you have a bull that can pull 100 loaded carts. Bet all of the money that you have, and I will make you rich."
The farmer took the 1,000 pieces of gold and paid a visit to the rich merchant. They shared tea and conversation. "Everyone knows I have the strongest bulls in the region," the merchant said. "I have seen your bull. He is nice, but he cannot compare to mine. After all, I paid the top dollar for the best bulls money can buy. Your bulls are strong, but my bull is the strongest bull," the farmer replied. The rich merchant laughed and challenged the farmer to prove it. The farmer contended, "I bet my bull can pull 100 loaded carts." "No bull can do that," exclaimed the merchant. "Mine can, and I will bet you 1,000 pieces of gold," the farmer said. The merchant happily took the bet. The day of the challenge, the merchant filled 100 carts with rocks and sand to make them as heavy as possible. The entire town turned out to watch. The farmer wanted to seem important, so he acted like the merchant. He cracked a whip and ordered Delightful to move. Delightful had never felt a whip before. He froze. The farmer shouted at Delightful, "Pull, you dumb beast! I command you to pull!" The words stung Delightful more than the whip. He had never given reason for the farmer to talk to him in this way. He refused to move. The town laughed at the farmer who had to sacrifice the 1,000 pieces of gold to the merchant. Dejected, he led Delightful home. Once there,
"I do not understand. Why did you mistreat me in front of the town? Have I ever given you reason to beat me and to yell at me?
Now the farmer understood why the bull had resisted him. He was ashamed and apologized.
Now go back again to the merchant and bet 2,000 gold coins. I promise to pull the cart if you promise to treat me with respect.
So he went back to town, and the merchant happily accepted the second bet. On the day of the challenge, the farmer fed Delightful the best grain and draped a garland of beautiful-smelling flowers around his neck. He attached the bull to the cart, jumped up on the seat, and said, "Delightful, my friend, would you please pull the carts?" The crowd burst with laughter, but it died in their throats and turned to cheers as Delightful pulled the heavy carts down the road and the farmer collected his riches. The farmer earned 2,000 pieces of gold, but he treasured much more the lessons he had learned, that everyone deserved to be treated with respect and kindness works better than threats. And so we read the story because that is what the UUSC does. The Unitarian Universalist Service Committee is a UU-affiliated organization, and they work around the world helping groups to earn respect. And during this season, what we will do is we will distribute these boxes in a moment, and what we ask you to do is put them on your kitchen table. And as you eat dinner at night, share some of the stories that are in the book about some of the work that the UUSC is doing. I'll also share some of those stories in FPC announces and also in the order of services as well. And we hope that you'll be at dinner, share some of your coins, put some of your extra money into the boxes. And on December 23rd, we will collect all the boxes and return them to the UUSC. And for every $100 that is donated, it will be matched by the church in Shelter Rock. So thank you.
And this is not just for adults, just because we're adults speaking about this. This is also for children and youth. There's no reason why at dinner time you can't put some of your allowance, some change, some money into here. And knowing that we have so much and other people don't have so much and to treat other people with respect is to give them things in a way that helps them grow and learn and sustain themselves. And that's what this box can help. So I hope that everyone, not just adults, but kids, youth and adults all contribute in their own way with their families.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy and Michelle. 2 years ago, when I was spending some time in Italy, I went to village of Assisi, which is most famous because of its most famous citizen back in the 13th century by the name of Francis, who, now known as a Catholic saint, was a wealthy man who gave up all of his riches to live poor and to serve the poor. And he really discovered something about doing that. He said, when we share our blessings, when we give away our gifts, something really ironic happens. He put it this way. He said that it is in giving that we receive. Our blessings are increased by giving them away. So my Thanksgiving prayer for all of you is that you'll experience the joy of being twice blessed. First, by discovering and acknowledging the many blessings we all take for granted. And second, by passing on the gifts, by sharing your talents and resources. Each time we give generously, we receive in return the blessing that comes from knowing that we have helped in a meaningful way. As you know, this month we share our gifts with the Southern India Project, which this church has been involved with for more than 8 years, assisting Bob Tabor with work of everything from building a daycare to building sanitary facilities to working to get potable water and also to meeting the needs of many tsunami orphans in that area. It's wonderful work, and we hope you'll be generous both to that cause and to the church. The morning offering will now be gratefully accepted.
We return thanks to our Mother, the Earth, which sustains us. We return thanks to the rivers and streams, which supply us with water. We return thanks to all herbs, which furnish medicines for the cure of our diseases. We return thanks to the corn and to her sisters, the beans and squash, which give us life. We return thanks to the bushes and trees, which provide us with fruit. We return thanks to the wind, which, moving the air, has banished diseases. We return thanks to the moon and the stars, which have given us their light when the sun is gone. We return thanks to our grandfather, Hino, who has given to us his rain. We return thanks to the sun that has looked upon the earth with a beneficent eye. Lastly, we return thanks to the Great Spirit, in whom is embodied all goodness, and who directs all things for the good of his children.
Today in our service, we experience the sound of all of us singing as one voice, all of us participating in one worship. I have a message for you, and I need some helpers. I know Michelle and Mike are going to be my helpers here today. If you'll come on up amidst all our wonderful food, find your spot. There's a holiday this week that's got a pretty long name. What is it? That's a clue. Thanksgiving. Okay. Well, there it is, a long word. But you know, actually, it's made up of two words. First comes, and then comes, and each part of that word is important. So let's look at each part and see what I mean. First, I'm talking about saying thank you when you receive something, like when you receive a gift. Thanks is how we show that we appreciate what we have received. Now, there's a kind of thanks you give when you know the giver of the gift. You say the words thank you to the person, or maybe you write a note when your friend gives you a birthday present saying thank you, or you say thank you to your mom or dad who takes you somewhere special, or when someone does something nice for you. But there's another kind of saying thanks, and that's when the giver of the gift is not a friend, not your family, not even a person. I'm talking about gifts that we heard about, like the sun that gives us light and warmth, like the water in the streams, the food that grow in our gardens, gifts like the gift of life itself, the gifts like trees and beautiful flowers, gifts like having a family and having good health, gifts like beautiful music we just heard, gifts like being able to live in a house where it's warm, gifts like being safe from danger. We're blessed with lots of gifts, lots of good things. They're not from any one person we know, but they're from a source that's greater. You know, some people will say, you get in life what you deserve. But I don't know about that. The truth is, we didn't do anything to get the really wonderful things. We didn't do anything to earn things like life and health and the warmth of the sun or the waters and the streams or the lakes. We didn't do anything to get born into a loving family or adopted by a loving family. We didn't do anything to live in a safe country where there's enough food to eat. I think the truth is we get a lot more than we possibly deserve. So you might ask, who should we thank for the big gifts? Many would call the giver of these gifts God. Others might call it nature or Mother Earth or the Great Spirit, as you heard in the Iroquois prayer that Anna read. Some might say they just don't know the source, but they sure know that they're blessed and they're grateful for those blessings. So how do we say thanks to God or to nature or the Great Spirit or to just who we don't know? How do you say thanks to the source we can't see? Well, people do it in different ways. They do it in prayers and songs, and what we're doing this morning, they do it in worship. When we come together in worship, we say thank you for all we have. In worship, we remind ourselves of what is important. We remind ourselves not to take things for granted. Not to think of things as being that we're entitled to, but think of them as the gifts that they truly are. In worship, we say thank you. Well, that's enough for your word. Thanks. Hold it up one more time. There we go. Well, we can't stop there. We have to go to the other word, which is? When someone gives you a gift for your birthday, it's nice to give them one back for theirs. When someone who helps you with something you need, and when you're needing something, it's nice to be able to help them back when they need something. That's how the giving part of thanks can work, when we know who the person is that gives us the gift. But what does the giving part look like when the giver is God or the Great Spirit or nature or the unknown? How do we give back to the giver of these really important gifts like life and the sun and food to eat, safety? We have to find a way to give something back for all we've received. We do it by giving to those who are not as fortunate as we are, by helping those who don't have enough food, by helping those who are sick. We do it by taking care of the gifts we enjoy, by treating the earth better, by not wasting the water, by recycling so there'll be enough for everyone. You just heard about the Guest at Your Table program. That's one way you can give part of what you have back, where you can say thanks. We take a moment with this program to say thank you for the food we eat at our table, and then we put a little money in the little box. In doing so, that's giving. That's the giving we're talking about, is thanksgiving. There's a lot of ways you can help right near home. We collected food for the food pantry. That's the giving part of Thanksgiving. As a church, we've helping in a lot of ways. This month, we're collecting for the Southern India Project. That's the giving part of Thanksgiving. This month, we're also signing up to get gifts for those who are living in domestic violence shelters in Boston and in Framingham. That's the giving part of Thanksgiving. Well, this Thursday, Thanksgiving, I'm going to ask you, especially on that day, to do two things. You won't forget them because they're right in the word itself. First is to express your naming the wonderful gifts you've been given, and then take time for the giving of your time, your money, your love, to those who are in need of food, clothes, shelter, medicine, so many things. It's an important part of Thanksgiving. So plan the way, if you will, that you and your family will give back this Thanksgiving. And remember both parts of the word. First comes, and then comes. Thanks for listening. And thanks for help. You know, at Thanksgiving time, it's customary to share a meal together with friends and family, perhaps even with members of the community who may not have a place to go for the holidays. This tradition of sharing food with others is really part of our ancient history. Jewish wisdom tells us that to break bread together with another person is a sign that you would never harm them. Sharing a meal with others is also about recognizing how important being part of a group, a community, is in our lives. Some would call the sharing of bread with each other a communion, a word that comes from the same root as community and means, translated, an act of sharing. In the breaking and the passing of bread this morning, we feed each other, giving thanks for the kindness, friendship, and support we receive from our community here at First Parish. I now, as our youth will be participating, come forward, I invite you all to sing Let Us Break Bread Together. The words are on the back of your order of service sung. He will play it through for us once first.
Today, the bread we will share was baked by the junior youth group. No two loaves are exactly alike. Each was baked to be offered as a gift for us all to share. Many different grains went into making this bread. This reminds us that though we may come from many different places, have different customs and beliefs, we are all part of one community here at FPC. Each loaf contains water, the substance that is needed to keep everything alive, and yeast, which allows the bread to rise and gives it life. Because of the yeast, the bread expands and takes on new life, in the same way that our FPC community does when we add new members and new classmates. There is salt added to the bread to keep life interesting, oil to reduce friction, and maybe a bit of honey to sweeten us. Yes, in so many ways, when we are a community at our best, we are like the bread that was made for us.
Our bread is made from the grains grown in the rich earth, warmed by the sun and watered by the gentle rain. Then humans add their knowledge and their skills to create the bread that feeds us. We recognize and celebrate that we are dependent on the world of nature, and that sometimes nature is almost magical, beyond our control and effort.
By sharing these loaves, we celebrate our oneness, not only with those that are here today, but with those who have come before us in our tradition, and with those who come after us. We are all one with them all, and our hope is for a world in which we share the oneness of people.
This bread is food for the body as well as for the soul. We know that we need to share in the feast to be kept alive, both physically and spiritually. We try our best to find places in us that is special. The place inside us where we know we are scared, the part of something bigger than any one of us.
The breaking of the bread is our great thanksgiving. We are thankful for so many things. The love and concern that we have for each other. The memories which connect us to those who have gone before us and prepared the way for us. The hope that we can build a better world where everyone will have what they need and will all be treated fairly and equally. We promise to help and support each other, to receive help when we need it, and to give to one another as we are able. As we celebrate, we remember that there are many people who are hungry and who have no community to support them. Today we recognize our responsibility to those that need to be fed both with food and with support and friendship.
You guys are going to stay here, I believe, they're going to be part of passing the bread. In a moment, we're going to pass the bread, and please take a piece. After everyone has been served, we'll together eat the bread. There is one basket of gluten-free bread, and if you'd like that, raise your hand. Reminder that we all need to be nourished, both physically and spiritually. We need each other. Each of us needs to receive the support of other members of the community. No one goes this way alone. May each of us receive the things we need. Even in our community, there are those whose needs go unmet. May we give as we are able. Now gathered in this holy place, we share bread. The bread reminds us of what is required to sustain our bodies. The call is to share more than bread. The call is to share ourselves, to be part of an ever-growing and expanding community of sharing. It is by this commitment to give and receive that we live, a A commitment that says we're a community in which everyone has needs, and also a community where everyone has something to give. Our community is much bigger than just this church. We're called to reach out and create a community of the world. It is by this message of receiving, giving, and sharing that we live. Take now and eat this bread, a symbol of the bounty of the harvest and of the work of human hands. May we be grateful for all the gifts we receive, and may we share them with each other. This bread is food for the body and the spirit. May we be nourished by it, and may we be mindful of our obligation to nourish others. And now, our benediction. This Thanksgiving, may we give substance to our gratitude by resolving to make right use of the many gifts which we've received. May we live as a community more fully. May we give of our abundant blessings more freely. May we use our talents more wisely for the service of humankind and the glory of all God's creation. Amen.